The Cthulhu Mythos in Teletubbies. H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu Mythos has inspired countless pieces of fiction, from video games such as Bloodborne or World of Warcraft, to films like The Thing or In the Mouth of Madness. Few people realize, however, exactly how widespread the Cthulhu Mythos is, influencing even children's television shows. Case in point, the British production, Teletubbies. At first glance, Teletubbies may appear to be an odd, yet harmless program aimed at entertaining and educating toddlers. However, this saccharine veneer only serves to hide some far darker and terrifying themes, that of eldritch horrors and mad ramblings. This video will attempt to shine some light on the darker concepts within Teletubbies, both in and out of the show. Teletubbies was first broadcast in 1997, produced by a British company for the BBC. Although many parents complained that the show was a bad influence on their children, it easily achieved success, both in Britain and abroad, and won multiple awards. Each episode of the show begins with a large sun rising above a pastoral green area, complete with colorful flowers and roaming rabbits. While it's possible this area is meant to represent a location on Earth, hence the rabbits, many clues throughout the show point to it being a far more remote locale. The curious thing about the sun, of course, is the image of a laughing baby held inside of it. This, of course, is a not-so-subtle reference to Azathoth, the blind idiot god. Also known as the Nuclear Chaos, Azathoth is believed to be located at the center of the cosmos, beyond angled space, and life as we know it exists due to Azathoth, much like the Teletubbies' lives are owed to the baby sun. The Teletubbies do not make an appearance until after the baby sun wills it. Also, what in life is more chaotic and idiotic than an infant? Soon after the baby sun rises, we are greeted by the Teletubbies themselves, strange alien beings of vague humanoid appearances. Each is represented by a different color, easily corresponding to various deities in the Cthulhu mythos. Dipsy is green, much like the great dreamer, Cthulhu. Lala is yellow, an obvious allusion to the unspeakable one, Haster, known as the King in Yellow. Poe is red, much like the flame surrounding Cthuga, the elemental spirit of fire. Tinky Winky, of course, needs no explanation. The group live in a hill dwelling known as the Tubbytronic Superdome, reminiscent of the nightmarish corpse city of Earlie, where Cthulhu and his starspawn dwell. The interior of the dome features strange architecture and a sickly green tint, much like Earlie. The Teletubbies seem to only consume two types of food, Tubby Custard, a viscous pink liquid, and Tubby Toast, a dark pastry with a smiley face depicted on one side. It's unknown exactly what ingredients constitute these tubby foods, but I have my suspicions that they are animal in nature, possibly human. Though they keep rabbits around for some reason, possibly aesthetics, there are no other creatures seen wandering the Teletubby world, potentially meaning they are kept in food production facilities. The Teletubbies also showcase an unnatural obsession with humans, as we'll see. Outside of their home is a large windmill, known as the Magic Windmill. Generally, this is seen spinning in concordance with the beginning of the TV receiver sequences, but it will also begin spinning at certain other times to herald a special event. When it does, a sound emits across the region, and the Teletubbies utter in unison, "Uh-oh!"
Uh-oh!
Before rushing over to a location. What follows varies from event to event, ranging from a miniature circus show to the rapid flooding of an entire section of the land, followed by the summoning of multiple large ships. The Teletubbies always react to these events with awe and glee. But whether they are hallucinogenic in nature, caused by chemicals released by the windmill, or are actually magical, is debatable. If they are indeed magical, as alluded to by the name of the windmill, then that would make the windmill the only master of sorcery in the land, much like Yogg-Sothoth, the opener of the way. But the Teletubbies spend most of their time doing a curious activity involving humans. Generally, once a day, much like the magical events, a sound will be heard and cause the Teletubbies to gather together, perform a group hug, and then fall to the ground in some strange ritual while the magic windmill spins. On the ground, the odd antennas on top of their heads and the patches on their torsos will light up momentarily. Afterwards, the group rushes to the top of a hill while the windmill continues to rapidly spin, and they each recite their names in some form of arcane incantation while their antennas and torsos glow. Then one of them is chosen, seemingly at random, to be the host of the ritual. The others gather around while footage of human children appears on the chosen one's torso. Whether this stomach screen is some type of biomechanical apparatus or is another magical effect is unknown, but the magic windmill seems to facilitate the ritual. The footage shown varies, but almost always shows young children at play or doing other light-hearted activities, often with their families. The Teletubbies showcase a disturbing amount of glee spying on these human children, often watching the footage a second time. The participants in the footage seem to be aware that they're being watched, although whether this is voluntary or magical coercion is unclear. Much of the Cthulhu mythos involves alien entities observing humans. From the great race of Yith, who studied and recorded the histories of countless species throughout time, including Homo sapiens, to Haster, who would often attempt to influence creative humans using the dreaded yellow sign. Other activities may follow, with the Teletubbies interacting with other alien entities, too numerous to describe here. Much of the Teletubbies' time is spent performing odd actions, including rhythmic motions with their bodies, or replicating activities observed in the humans. Their days are seemingly observed and recapped by an omnipresent narrator, who occasionally directly communicates with the Teletubbies. There has been some discussion, however, about the concept that the narrator isn't commenting on the Teletubbies' actions, but instead is commanding them.
Uh-oh. Dipsy closed his eyes.
Dipsy, eyes.
If this is indeed the case, the narrator role would easily align with that of Nyarlathotep, the messenger of the outer gods. Presumably, this narrator communicates with the baby son and passes on his commands. Inevitably, however, the baby son, Azathoth, must return to slumber, and the Teletubbies are forced to return to the dome, to wait until the star is right once again. The show itself is clearly alien in nature, often unsettling and always strange, but it doesn't quite end there. Although now the original filming location of the Teletubbies program in England is basic information, that wasn't the case when it was being filmed. The production company was so desperate to keep the location a secret that they had their own security firm policing the site and would strictly blindfold any visitors. After filming ceased, the filming location was flattened and flooded. While plausible reasons for these actions have been given, it makes you wonder if they were desperate to hide something. While it's easy to write off the Teletubbies as simple, harmless fun for kids, we have no idea of the effects it may have had on them, and maybe it's best that we don't delve into it.